We're going to be talking about Matthew 5, 6. We're going to be talking about that verse in the Beatitudes where Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And all through this week, just been thinking about being hungry, being thirsty, not because I was hungry and thirsty, although I was every day. I was hungry and thirsty every day. How about you guys? Every day, hungry and thirsty. You know, I don't think I'd ever drink water if I was thirsty. You know what I mean? If I wasn't thirsty, I'd never drink water. And I wouldn't eat any food if I wasn't hungry. I suppose maybe if it became an issue, I would because I had to. But isn't it amazing how God orders how life is? And I always think, okay, the spiritual side of things, we think the material things is what is real. But really, it's the spiritual reality that is more real. It's what's eternal. This thing is going to come and go. So I believe that God has created things spiritually, but then when he created life and how we live it, it was so that it would reflect spiritual realities. And I thank God that he gave us simple concepts like hunger and thirst so that we would get God, right? So much of scripture is these analogies, these pictures, and we talk about hunger and thirst, and I don't have to explain it and exegete it. I can just say, do you know what hunger is? You're like, yeah, I'm hungry right now. What is over there, actually? Yeah, I'm hungry. I didn't eat breakfast or thirsty. Like, right now, I'm thirsty. And actually, now that I say it, I was like, man, do you know what sounds really? Just water. I love water. When I'm thirsty, like, that's all I want. You know, so God has made the material world to give us insight into how he has created things spiritually. And Jesus, when he was talking about the kingdom of God, he's up on the mountain, he's talking to his followers, and this is all started. This is the first sermon where Jesus is entering into ministry, and he talks through the Beatitudes, and he's talking to all these people, and he talks about, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are those who are weak. He goes through all these things. Then he said, blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And this is so interesting how Jesus is talking about blessed are these people. Because really, in its simplest form, it means happy. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. There's a blessing when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. You're happy. Isn't that fascinating? Jesus, concerned about happiness. But remember, this is in the context of kind of like the laws of the kingdom of God. Not laws as in do this, don't do this, but laws like gravity. Laws like this is how it works in the kingdom of God. When Jesus is king, this is how life works. And this is what it is. There is happiness when you live like this, when you're hungering for and thirsting for righteousness, there's happiness. And you know, it's interesting that we all understand happiness also. We know what it is to be happy and we know what it is to be sad. And I believe that same thing. God has created things in our life that are like fractions of what eternity is. And we all desire happiness. One way or another, we search and look for happiness, and we look for it through a number of different ways. Some people chase money, some people chase comfort, some people chase entertainment, some people chase whatever, work, purpose, a purposeful life, whatever it is. Ultimately, we're wanting to be happy. So there's this need in us to pursue and look for happiness. And I believe this is what it says in Ecclesiastes, that he set eternity in our hearts. And this is one of those things that's reflective of this longing for happiness. And it's this shadow of what is to come. Because, beloved, one thing we know about heaven is, I've shared this before, when I was a kid, I was like, heaven sounds terrible because we're just going to sing the whole time. And as I've grown in my understanding, there's this there's this realization that, oh yeah, it's about Jesus. And just that there's going to be a fullness. There's going to be a fullness that can't be described. We are going to be happy, filled with joy, fully satisfied. So right here on this earth, though, we get the shadow of this desire for happiness. And we chase all these things, but ultimately what the Lord is saying is, there's only one way to be happy. There's only one way to really be satisfied. But when you think about it, this is core to how so many people live. You hear this saying, whatever makes you happy, you know, do whatever you want, whatever makes you happy. Like that makes it right. Boy, that's another sermon. Whatever makes you happy. But even think about this, like how foundational and key this is even to our nation. Bill of Rights. You know the Bill of Rights where it says, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So as an American citizen, I am entitled to chase after happiness. Fascinating, isn't it? So how are you chasing after happiness? Amazing. God's ways are not our ways, but God's intent is for good. He's a good father. And the way he has set up the kingdom of God, the reign and rule of God, think about it, is for our benefit and really for our joy, ultimately for his glory. But think about it, like we benefit when we do it his way. There's a blessing in it. The favor of God is on us. Happiness in the Lord is given to us when we walk his way. Isn't that awesome? See, following Jesus and being a Christian is so much more than just believe this and a list of rules. It's this invitation into the kingdom of God, the way of Jesus, where Jesus orders everything. And when Jesus orders it, guess what? There is blessing. Grace upon grace upon grace. It's the good life. Jesus is laying out the good life. You want to follow me? Yeah, there's a cost. It's going to be really difficult sometimes. But you know what? The blessing of God comes when you do it his way. Because that's how the kingdom works. That's how the kingdom works. And here's the deal. This is red letter in the Bible, meaning that Jesus said it. And when God says things, this will never end. This is truth. There is a blessing when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, something that's interesting is the blessing is not in when you're satisfied. The blessing is when you hunger and thirst. Isn't it interesting? It's really backwards how we do it. We think, okay, like to give the physical illustration, okay, let's say I'm really thirsty right now. I don't feel blessed right now. I feel thirsty. But you know when I'm going to feel blessed? When I get a drink of water and I pound that down, then I will feel blessed and then I'll be satisfied. That's where the blessing is after I'm satisfied. What Jesus is saying is like, you're blessed when you hunger and thirst. Is that interesting? It's in the pursuit of where the blessing is. So you're blessed in your pursuit of righteousness. So I want to think about hunger and thirst a little bit more, and hopefully you get hungry by the end of this. But to be hungry, have you ever fasted before? You don't need to raise your hand. We're not going to compare how long or anything like that. But I remember when I was a youth pastor doing something called the 30-hour famine, which is hilarious. If you've ever seen teenagers try to not eat for 30 hours, it's unbelievable, right? It's really ridiculous, actually. But truth be told, I think when I did, I'd never fasted before either. But how? What? Yeah, all day long. That's the easiest way to kick some hours away. Like, I just need to go to bed. I'm dying. But to deprive your body of food and how your body reacts. See, here in the U.S., like we so rarely, I mean, there are people, there's definitely people, but so many people don't even know what it is to be hungry, really. You know, like, I'm hungry. I'm going to eat Doritos. You know, like, there's food everywhere. You know what I mean? If you have financial resources, there's food everywhere. I was thinking about this. So, weird thought. But I was thinking, okay, someone from another universe visits our planet who doesn't know what it is to have hunger or food. You know, doesn't need that. They show up, and they're like, these people eat all the time. You know, think about this. Like, gas stations, there's food everywhere at gas stations. You know, grocery stores, everywhere. And here's the deal. Not just a few options. I mean, rows of food. I remember in the Philippines, you know, like, they have grocery stores here. But when I came to the U.S., I was like, you are kidding me. You know, like, unlimited selection. You know, like, you have 15 different options. Which one do you want? You know, like, we are obsessed with food, right? Or think of all the restaurants. They're all over the place. In my little walk that I do between our house and here, I was just thinking about how many restaurants. And I'm serious. If I'm hungry, I'm like, you know, because there's restaurants all over the place. We're obsessed with food. I want you to think about this. How many rooms in your house are dedicated to food? Two. Your kitchen and your dining room. So, and your pantry?
Oh, and the kitchen table.
Yeah, in the dining room. So anyway, like, you dedicate square footage in your wherever you live just to food. You know, like, so, okay, we get this, like, food's a big deal for us, and we all eat, but I want you to think of that spiritually as Jesus is making this analogy. Like, how much of your life is dedicated to food, you know, spiritual food? You know, like, we dedicate time, we block off times in our day, we spend money, we set aside space in our house just to eat. But spiritually, like, do we do the same? Do we do the same? It's really interesting. You know, I mentioned this before, but we eat and drink all the time. And the way that we've been wired is that we're hungry, we eat, we're satisfied. But guess what? The next day, we're hungry again, and we eat and are satisfied. And then you know what? The next day, we're hungry, we eat, and we're satisfied. And beloved, that's how it works in the kingdom of God also. You know, to experience the living God once. Whether that's at church, whether you're just with the Bible, whether you're on a walk just thinking about the Lord, whatever that is, like, whatever it is that you're pursuing righteousness, we'll get to that in a sec. Like, to encounter the Lord once isn't enough, you know? This is talking about hungry and thirsting for righteousness. It says that you'll be satisfied, but this is a different, this is different. See, it's not that you arrive. See, when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you are satisfied, but you know what? Part of that satisfaction is that you hunger and thirst for more. You know what I mean? You hunger and thirst for more, and you know what? You're satisfied again. So every time you encounter the living Jesus, do you know what? It is fully satisfied. I always think about this song where it says, turn your eyes on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Why? Because he fully satisfies. But you know what? Just to have one sweet encounter with the Lord, the next day you're like, I want to do it again. I want to do it again. So part of this, when Jesus is talking about hungering and thirsting for righteousness and being satisfied, really almost has this undergirding of appetite. You know, that you'd have an appetite for the Lord, that you would hunger for him and receive, and hunger for him and receive. It's like eating and drinking. This is how the spiritual life works. So to do it just one time is not enough. And beloved, like, there are Christians who do it once a week. And you know what? It's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough to eat once a week. You can do it, but it's no way to live. It's no way to live, especially when it's available to us. You know, another thing about eating and drinking is there's this need. Like, we feel this, I need food, I'm starving, or I need something to drink, I'm so thirsty. But here's this other facet to this, and I think this is God's creation. God's creative energies is, like, food is amazing. Have you noticed that? I love food. It's flavorful. It makes me happy, you know? Isn't it funny that so much of our social life is centered around food? Is that interesting? Because it's not something we just do to survive. There's actually joy in it. And same spiritually. You know, like, we don't do it just to survive. Like, I need to get to heaven and be a good Christian. So I'm going to spend time with the Lord. I'm going to be in his word like we did this morning. And I have to do it because I've got to be a good Christian. There's no flavor there, you know? See, with the Lord, if you really encountered the living God, do you know what? The food tastes good. And the drink is so satisfying. And this is how Jesus designed this. This is an invitation into the good life. You know, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. I mean, if you eat of me and drink of me, like, you'll be fully satisfied. Isn't that awesome? Not just to survive, but to thrive. There's an enjoyment in Jesus. So that's another question I have for you. Does the food taste good? Does drinking the water, is that enjoyable to you, like when you're with the Lord? Or is it something you have to do to survive? Beloved, there's so much more. That's what it's saying. Just to have some isn't enough. And I've sometimes thought, like, just to experience the Lord and to know him and to know about him and to, as you walk with him, like, understand who he is and what he's done and even, like, salvation, like, what happened and how incredible and immense that was. And then to see him move, to see him answer prayer, to see him in your life, like, where you're dealing with things and he is with you, you know it, he's speaking to you, you're right there. It's like, I want more. You know, like, this is awesome. And I just want more. I almost feel like it's almost this addictive thing where it's like you taste a little bit and you're like, that's not enough, I need more. That's how he set it up to be. And beloved, there's more. There's more. Your life as you know it with the Lord is here, and do you know what? There's more. That should be so exciting for a follower of Jesus Christ. Regardless of how old you are, how long you've been walking with Jesus, regardless of what's happened spiritually in your life, what wounds you've had, whatever it is, there's more. And do you know what? It's blessed. It's blessed. It's blessed. His favor is on us when we walk his way. I think of Psalm 42. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Is that good? May we be a people who hunger and thirst for the Lord, right? Right? You know, it talks about righteousness in this passage. Jesus is saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness really is right living, right standing before God. So this hunger and thirst is for things to be right with me and God. So that relationally, like, we're good. You know what I mean? See, here's the deal, and this is the gospel. Like, when sin entered the world, there was complete and utter separation from God. And God sent his only son. He loved the world so much that he sent his only son that whoever believes in him shall never perish but have eternal life. And he made a way for that relationship to be restored, for there to be righteousness. And Jesus paid that price for us. And we were imprisoned imputed righteousness, not because we earned it or deserved it, but Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' right standing before God because he has been perfect, has become ours so that we can be right with God only through Jesus. And this is why the kingdom of God was good news. There was a way to hunger and thirst for righteousness and get it. Isn't that incredible? Like, we can have right relationship with God, but this isn't just a one-time fix-all thing. So, even with salvation, like, we're saved. Once we come to Christ, like, it's done. Positionally, we're in Christ. But do you know what? He gives us an appetite for him. And that's where this hunger is. It's not enough just to be saved. I want to know him. I want to be with him. I want to fellowship with him. I want to experience his fullness in my life. And that's this pursuit of righteousness. Because, age is a thing. But I've walked with the Lord enough. And, you know, it's funny how there's always more to deal with. You know, like, you're walking with the Lord, you realize there's still things in me that, like, it's still funk in our relationship, and God brings it up, and you're like, God, deal with me, purify me. God, I want to be close to you. Remove this sin from me, like, I hate it. Let this flesh die. In this pursuit of, like, God, remove any hindrance between me and you. And isn't that what the psalmist is saying? Like, I long for you. Like a deer panting for water, and the water's over here and I'm in here. Like, I need to get to the water. I'm pursuing the water. I'm after the water. Whatever's hindering, let it be gone. So the blessing of the Lord is for hungry and thirsting for right relationship with God. It's Jesus himself. And that is a blessed life, pursuing Jesus. And the promise is that we will be filled. We will be satisfied. Isn't that incredible? Like, the world promises so much, but it doesn't fulfill anything. It's all temporary, and Jesus is talking about eternal truths that satisfies and fills for all eternity. And like I said before, this strange satisfaction, it satisfies us, but it keeps us wanting more. And that's how it works in the kingdom of God. You know, this is a real simple sermon. It really is. It really is. Because we get it. We get hunger. We get thirst. We get what it is to pursue things in our life. And the invitation from Jesus is just like, come back to pursuing me, hungering for me, thirsting for me. And beloved, the thing that is always standing against us, the enemy of our soul wants to again and again and again and again try to satisfy that hunger with other things so that we're not hungry for God, so that we're not thirsting for righteousness. And beloved, he throws all kinds of things at us. And you know, if you see a baby, if they're not hungry, you know something's wrong. Something's not right. Something needs to be changed. There's sickness, there's illness, there's something going on that's affecting that child because they should be hungry. See, to have hunger, to have thirst means that you're healthy, right? So if you don't have an appetite for God, if you're not hungry and thirsting for you, guess what? Something's off. Something's wrong. Something's sick. Something needs to be dealt with. Because there's something going on that's hindering you from being healthy, being who and what God has created you to be. So, beloved, I'm asking you, are you hungry? Are you thirsty? No, here's the deal. Like, nothing I say can convince you. You need to be hungry. I can't read the right verse and be like, oh, that's it. Okay. We're all hungry and thirsty for the Lord again. You know, like, these are things that God produces. He produces hunger. He produces thirst for him. And beloved, I want you, just like me, to really, before the Lord, say, God, I'm asking for hunger. I'm asking for thirst. I'm asking for a desire for you. Thank you so much for what you've done in my life. Thank you so much for how I've experienced the living God. I've been satisfied so much. But God, I want more. I want more. And that's this longing for heaven on earth. Wasn't it Jesus who was praying? He's like, may your will be done. May your kingdom come on earth just as it is in heaven. And part of that is that we know him in his fullness. So, beloved, are you hungry? Are you thirsty? And if not, part of this is just like, Lord, I need to ask. God, what's hindering my appetite? What's hindering my thirst? And you know what? I've found with the Lord, like, God is so good. I don't know if he's like this with you, but I feel like often in time, I go in cycles. You know, life is in cycles. There's times where I'm desperate for God, wanting him, seeking him with all my heart, pursuing him, joyful in the Lord. And then life goes on, I get tired, I get distracted, and all of a sudden I'm over here. And you know what? I don't have much appetite for God. I'm doing things out of discipline, maybe, you know? But the Lord always bringing me back to hunger for me, thirst after me. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, keeping us there, keeping us in that place. But here's the deal, like, we can resist that. We can say no to that voice. And he doesn't force hunger and thirst on you. You know, I was thinking about that adage, you know, that says, you know, like, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You know? You can present Jesus. I can talk about this, but can't make you drink. You know, like, thirst has to be produced. The same with baby. Like, the baby doesn't want to eat. It's not going to eat. You know, if it doesn't want to drink something, I mean, okay, little story. I forget which kid, I think all three of them. But I was the first one with the baby at home and my wife was gone and I knew they needed to eat, but they did not want to drink the bottle with daddy, okay? Like, mommy has got the touch, daddy, I got some work to do. And just knowing, like, this baby's starving, so crying like crazy, not squirt, you know, like milk in their mouth. You know what I mean? Like, force the food. You're like, God doesn't do that to us. He doesn't force milk down us when we're crying like babies. You know? He, by the gift of the Lord, gives us hunger and thirst for righteousness. This is the blessed life. You know, this whole truth is very dear to me, and I feel is foundational for even us as a church and what we're called to be. That we'd be a people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's why, like, on the sign, all these things, be desperate for God, believe God can do anything, because it's always for other people. But this first place of be desperate for God, be in this place of continual need for God. When you are continually seeking God because he's it. There's no answer anywhere else. Like, you're desperate for him. You need him. Be desperate for God. And I've shared this before, but Psalms 107 really has been key to what this church, how this started. And I believe what we're called to be and what God wants to do here. But Psalms 107 says this, that some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. So it's talking about a people who are in a dry place and they couldn't get to a city. They couldn't get to a place where the water was, where the food was, where the sustenance of God was. And the city is always representing the holy city, Zion. It's where the people of God go to worship the living God. So there's a people who are wandering in dry places, and they were hungry and thirsty. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted with them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. And he led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. And do you know what? It's in that place that their hunger and thirst was satisfied. Get this. 107 verse 8 says this, "Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works for the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things." Amen. So, beloved, may we be a people who hunger and thirst for Jesus in his fullness. And thank God he satisfies, but until it's done, that we would hunger and thirst even more. Amen. Miguel, do you want to come up, close in worship? You know, the word of God never returns void. It always accomplishes what it's supposed to do. And it's not because of fancy words or anything like that. It's because it's the word of God and because this is truth. So what is God speaking to you about? What is he calling you to? I know this week, as I was walking, it was this call to hunger and thirst for him again. You know? Come back to me again. Pursue me again. Desire me again. Be desperate for me again. Long for me again, like you used to. And beloved, maybe the Lord is bringing up something in your life that you know is hindering this from happening. And I'd encourage you to bring that before the Lord, confess it, turn away from it, follow the Lord. But for some of you, it might be a simple prayer like, God, I want to be hungry again. God, I want to be thirsty again. I want to desire you because I want to. Because, like the psalmist says, I've tasted and seen that you are good. And I want to taste and see again. If that's you, I just pray, ask God. He is a good father. He is way better than we could ever be as a father. And he gives good gifts. Amen? So how much better of a prayer of, Lord, I want to hunger more for you. I want to thirst more for you. I want to be desperate for you again. Jesus, change my mind, change my heart, order my life, God, that this would be true about me. And not just back to where I was, but Lord, even deeper, even more, that there would be increase. We love you, Jesus, and I thank you for the kingdom of God. I thank you for the rule and reign of Jesus in our lives and in our church, and just thankful, Jesus. Amen.